8:20. Welcome back. 97.5 The Fanatic. Pat Gallen and Joe Stazak. We are live here at Chickie's at Pete's at Parks Casino. And it is duo number two of the Fanatic Dream Job semifinals competition. And it is Roy Burton and Chris Domingo. Gentlemen, welcome. Sure. Welcome to the party.
Thanks, guys. Boys. How are y'all?
Tell us a little bit about yourselves, Roy.
Well, we do a podcast called The Broad Street Line. We've done it for 3 years now, and we actually met about a decade ago, and we kind of did an informal show in the cubicle, you know, that we kind of shared at Temple University. We have some fans from Temple University here right now. So we decided to kind of take that to the next level. So we did our little podcast, and then last month we put together our video, and here we are.
Well, actually, it followed when we were taking the subway home, The Broad Street Line, which is the name of our podcast.
Nice.
We'll probably get sued by SEPTA at some point. But just having the endless conversations just sprung this podcast, and now we're here.
That's awesome. You guys both from Philly?
Yes.
Yes.
Philly born and bred.
Temple University educated also.
Excellent, excellent. Good stuff. Well, we are clearly talking about the Phillies and what happens now with the team.
Mm-hmm.
And it's – I am on the side that says – buy a little more than sell, but at the same time, still try to make the postseason. So for the past couple of weeks, it's kind of been a buy or sell question. Where do you stand?
I have to check you on that. Buy a little more than sell. Can we get off the fence a little bit? Put one side or the other. Buy.
You're going to jump right in like that,
Come
Roy?
Come on. Buy or
How
sell.
About that?
Where you,
How
where
about
you
that?
Go?
It's a punch right in the face.
How about that?
Yeah, I hate to agree with my colleague this like this close in the game, but the watershed mark for me is 90 wins. For the Phillies to get to 90 wins, they got to go 42-24 the rest of the
Good
way.
Good luck with that.
And we know that's not happening, right?
Yeah. Maybe 07, 08, 09. This is not 07, 08, 09.
No, 34 games against teams with records better than 500 down the stretch. Meanwhile, the Braves have 19 games versus teams with better than 500 records. So it's going to be hard to make up that ground you know, in the division if you have so many games against
so
the
you're
teams.
So you're all selling? You're
I'm
all selling?
Sell every,
garage
every,
sale?
Every,
well,
everything
wait, wait.
That's not
garage
nailed down.
By saying that I'm a little more sell than buy or buy than sell, whatever it may be,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you see how the roster's constructed. You can't do a complete sell-off because of how the team is. I mean, this is a team that wants to compete next season. If you do that, forget about competing in 2014 or 15, it's going to be a while.
And Pat's, I think, being prudent. He's keeping his eye on the future, but also taking care of what's happening.
Doing it
right
the right
now.
Way.
But, guys, why not just shoot for the stars and trade Cliff Lee and try to get Jurickson Profar? Why is it that hard to get him? He's out of spot in Texas.
Okay.
You got Kinsler at second. You got Andrews third. Beltre at third.
Mm-hmm.
He's out of position. You don't want your prize prospect playing out of position.
So Jurickson Profar is going to lead you to a World Series.
No, but that's the starting cycle of getting me to a World Series. You remember in 06 and 07 we had homegrown players. I want to get back to that. In 2 years, I want to dream of a lineup with Mikel Franco at third, Profar second, Cesar Hernandez / Galvis at first,
mm-hmm.
Ruff at first base, Tommy Joseph at catcher.
But historically, you don't get back the top prospect from a team for your veteran guy, for your ace or your number two.
There's been a lot
don't.
Of dud trades out there for
exactly,
ace pitchers.
Exactly, exactly.
But you don't get anything back if you hold on to these guys until they have no value. Chase Utley's 34 years old. He's not going to get better. He's having his worst season in the field ever. Ryan Howard, we already know what's going on with him.
Right.
These guys are getting older. They're not going to, you know, improve. And I think you think that this team is going to be good going forward next year. I think this team is a few years away. And I think you need to start that rebuilding process now, like Chris said. And you have to start getting rid of these guys and getting prospects to rebuild your farm system.
Okay, from your perspective, that's fine. What if you're in Ruben's shoes and you see a ballpark that needs to be filled? You've got to have fans come out. You still need to have them buy tickets and buy beers and buy merchandise. How are you going to do that without Cliff Lee at the top of your rotation and a bunch of no-name guys? Yeah. Are you going to be able to fill your stadium?
It's not fantasies. It's a business.
It is a business.
You still got to think of it that way.
But haven't the Phillies drawn enough goodwill at this point with the last 5 years? I mean, before 06, it was the doldrums of Phillies baseball for a long time, and I know a lot of fans have jumped on the supposed bandwagon, but for me personally, they've earned 2 or 3 years to get back to like where they were at 06, just as me speaking myself.
Right, but you don't want to tank completely. You don't want
no,
to,
don't
like
want to
Pat
tank.
Said, you have guys, no names
out there.
You
tank in baseball, you become the Marlins.
This
you become
basketball.
The Astros.
Who do people come out to see right now? Cliff Lee, Cole Hamels.
Don Brown.
Maybe Don Brown. But other than that, you get past that. Who's your draw right now? Those guys.
it's more important to build towards the future than to fill that ballpark right now. I think you have to build towards the future, and you have to kind of mortgage the present right now. You can't afford, again, it'd be nice to have 40, 45,000 people at Citizens Bank Park, but at the same time, you're going to have to win in the future as well. And so I think you need to make moves now in order to position yourselves for another 5 or 6 year run like you just had.
Oh, and also, Pat, you mentioned on your show, Phillies Nation, last week that the second base production.
Brownie
is,
points. I like that.
How about that?
Great show, by the way.
How about that?
The available second base production that's out there is limited. And Chase Utley, yes. You would think that would be broken down. He's still one of the elite second basemen production-wise.
He is. That's a question I was just about to ask you guys is, you know, Chase Utley, it's possible that he could have played his last game in Philadelphia. If he's dealt before the July 31st deadline, you know, we won't get a chance to see him here. It's weird to think of him not being part of the Philadelphia Phillies, but can you? Can you see that as a possibility?
I can see it. I'm not as married to him as Bill Giles is, obviously, who said that Chase and Ryan Howard are the sexy guys.
And a lot of the women around Philadelphia
exactly.
are married to him as well.
They bring the sex appeal. But again, I'll just go back to my earlier point. Chase Utley's 34 years old. He's having a very good offensive season, one of the better offensive seasons for a second baseman. But at the same time, he's not going to get better. Guys don't typically get better or maintain their production at 35. I mean, this isn't the steroid era with the Bonds and Clemens and guys like that. So at some point, Chase Utley's offensive production is going to take a step back. You have to deal him in order to get something of value right now, or else you're going to lose out.
And also, guys, who would have thought at the beginning of the season that Chase Utley would be this much of a commodity to other teams? Before, we thought that who would think that he would play this many games? Now you can get a reasonable prospect for him.
Hopefully more than that.
Yeah.
I mean, they probably need to get a little bit more than that. And that's part of the problem, though, is that how much can they realistically get back for these guys? So are you better served holding on to Chase Utley? And like you said, it's very thin at second base around baseball. Do you move on? I mean, Roy, you seem married to the thought of moving on completely from a lot of these guys. But realistically, around baseball and even in the farm system, yeah, they have Cesar Hernandez and Freddie Galvis, but we don't know anything about them.
Never know how those guys pan out. Technically, you can get rid of Chase Utley and still sign him in the offseason.
That's true,
he's a free agent. Rarely happens, but that is a possibility.
This is true. But you do have other guys in the farm system that you can bring up as well. Chris is a little bit more well-versed in that. But I think between the guys that you have, the middle infielders that you have at the different levels in the farm system, I think you can find somebody out there who can replace a Chase Utley. Not do the same things as Chase can do, but to hold the fort down, and more importantly, at a cost control level. Because, again, you can't continue to spend and spend and spend as you have over the past, you know, 3 or 4 years, especially with at least $85 million due Ryan Howard over the next 3-plus seasons.
All right, we're throwing all these names around of possibilities that could be traded, could be dealt at the deadline. Who's the first guy that goes for you?
Donovan Papelbon.
Yep.
For Nick Castellanos.
I think we
make the deal.
You sound like you're ready to handcuff him and throw him right on the plane.
I wasn't a big fan of Papelbon when he came here. I thought his personality would rub people the wrong way, and it has, like, his nonchalant attitude towards blowing
He's
saves.
He's also a little crazy.
Yeah, and I think but there's still a market for Jonathan Papelbon. It just isn't here.
But
you
won't get Castellanos. You won't get Xander Bogaerts. You're not going to get a guy like that, a prospect like that for him.
But you never know. I mean, those teams are
desperate. And
they
that's
are desperate.
Why, like,
you
the
really
Rangers,
think you can pull that?
I think it's possible.
Even with his decline, I mean, if he was throwing 95 still, I'd say maybe, but...
But if you're the Red Sox and you're a team that's one piece away from being a World Series champion and it's the closer position... You got to win now, right?
Same with Detroit.
And
the
same with
closer away.
And same with the Rangers, guys. They've been knocking on the door the last 2 years. World Series. They want to win it now. Like, they're in a win now mode. So if you dangle Cliff Lee in front of them, say they give you Jurickson Profar, I think that's a win.
Yeah, I mean, I thought we were talking Papelbon. See, that's why I don't think Papelbon. I think Detroit, especially Detroit, even more so than Boston, I think, is really salivating for a closer. And
well, before the news that came out today, I would have said definitely.
Right.
But now that Andrew Bailey's out for the season, Boston, they're not messing around. Boston's in a little bit of a better position, too, than
Try
Detroit.
Try to get in the bidding war than with the Detroit and Boston.
So are you guys, and again, you know, it's tough to say these guys, any of them, will be Phillies for life. Are you completely against the notion that any player can now be a player for life with one team?
Peyton Manning got traded, so no.
Means nothing to you anymore?
No. Michael Jordan went to the Washington Wizards.
Gretzky that was insane.
Gretzky got traded.
Yeah.
Manning, of course, was injured, but you're right. How many guys start their career with one team, become superstars, and stay with the same team?
Maybe I'm just living in the past, but I miss those days.
No,
it's a nice fairy tale notion, but, you know, again, you root for the name on the front of the jersey, not the back. So
That is true.
All right, let's segue to football a little bit here.
Okay.
And, of course, the quarterback position, it's going to be a heated debate, and it already has been here on this radio station and training camp starting in a couple of weeks. So it's an easy question. Who do you go with?
Who do I go with, or yeah. who do I think they well, go with?
Go tell me both.
I expect Chip Kelly to go with Michael Vick, just for the experience factor and the fact that his mobility gives him an edge over Nick Foles in this offense. I would like them to go with Nick Foles. I think Nick Foles, again, Chip Kelly right now, this year, needs to figure out, you know, what horses he's going to have down the stretch, like for the rest of the next few years. He needs to figure out who's going to buy into the system, who's a good fit for him and his system. Michael Vick, I think all four of us can agree, he's not the long-term answer quarterback. So what is Michael Vick coming in this year, you know, having a good to mediocre to good season, what is that going to do for you in the long term? You still won't know much about Nick Foles. So put Nick Foles in, let him sink or swim. If he doesn't work out, then next year you go with Matt Barkley.
All right, but as the head coach, isn't it still your job to get to the playoffs, get to the postseason?
Win ball games.
You got to win ball games. And right away,
you
I would say
just
Michael
tank
Vick.
A season, yeah.
yeah, Michael Vick is the guy that can at least get you, because this division, I don't want to call it terrible,
it's
but it's
terrible.
Not very good.
It's terrible.
It's open ended.
It's terrible.
All you need to know is the Cowboys signed Demetrius Bell as a backup. So that just says the level of quality in the NFCs. But in terms of the quarterback, I'm going with Vick. I mean, he is the guy. I think Chip Kelly, like me included, is still enamored with the possibility of what Michael Vick can do, even though he's 33 years old.
I think I'm there, too.
I'm with both you guys. It's this skill set that's so through the roof still. Even on the decline, he still can run like the wind, and he throws the ball 75 in the air.
Now, Zebra doesn't change his stripes, but can he tweak them a little bit and make them work in this system? I think
no,
there's
no stripes
a good possibility.
Those stripes are permanent. But the point is, we don't care about the stripes. We're still waiting for him to regain that 2010 form when he dropped 59 points on the Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
In the last 2 years, Michael Vick has played 23 games, has turned the ball over 38 times. Are you okay with that as your starting quarterback next year?
I'm not okay with that, but what I am okay with is it being sort of a starting over.
Exactly.
And I don't want to blame it all on Andy Reid and the system. I'll blame it more on Marty Morningway because I couldn't stand that guy. But the offensive system absolutely had something to do with it.
I agree.
I mean, you can't keep dropping this guy back, seven-step drops, and not expecting him to get hit. Just waiting 4 or 5 seconds, and that's what it was every single play. And part of the reason the game plan was never altered, and that's part of the reason why I'm so enamored with what it could be.
Yeah, like, I'm enamored also, but a part of me thinks that this doesn't fit Vic's skill set. Quick reads, pre-snap, like pre-snap reading.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't get the ball off quick. He needs a couple extra plays,
But it is a little more simplistic than Andy Reid's system.
Yeah.
So that could open things up for Michael Vick, would it not?
It could, but here's the thing with Michael Vick. Again, I'll just go back to my original point. If Michael Vick comes in and has a decent season, then what do? Is he your long-term answer? Because you're going to have to give him a multi-year deal if he has a good year. Michael Vick is old.
Can you think he can play for three years?
10-plus years of bad habits that I don't think are going to go away. And I can't invest. I can't waste another year trying to be mediocre again. Again, I don't want to come back to you. You have to get off the fence.
It's ripping time, me from the get-go.
it's time to get off the fence.
20-second
you know?
Timeout. 20-second timeout. Okay. We're talking about him playing 3 more years. Can he play 16 games? And I think
he did it once.
I think there are two questions. Who's going to start the season, but who's going to finish the season? And it probably won't
point.
Be Mike Vick.
It's a good point. It's a good point.
All right. The Ron Jaworski puts out his top 32 quarterbacks list, which is also something that we've been talking about here on the show. And Joe Flacco's name slips in there at number 4, which I think is crazy. I mean, I think he's a top 10 quarterback. Maybe. I mean, he's got Matt Schaub. Jaws has Matt Schaub number 9. I'd probably put Joe Flacco ahead of him.
I agree.
Joe Flacco, number 4, is that a little crazy, or is there something to that?
A little crazy, that's a lot crazy.
Well, you can explain that, but I think a little. It's a little crazy. I'll give him a little bit of benefit of the doubt. I think Drew Brees would be my number 4 guy overall. He's just a better quarterback. And,
sure.
And Joe Flacco, his stature, I mean, if Raheem Moore, you know, doesn't go brain dead, you know, in the playoffs last year, Joe Flacco's not the 4th-rated quarterback on Jaws' list. So I think, you know, we take what we've learned from Joe Flacco, or seen in Joe Flacco in that game in the Super Bowl, and elevate him a little bit. Whereas if you just look at the pure numbers and pure ability, Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, guys like that, they're clearly better quarterbacks.
Why do you like Matt Ryan better than Joe Flacco?
Because he's better. I mean, he has a better arm.
I think
better
it's clear
arm.
That he's better.
He has more arm talent.
I don't think he is. I really don't.
Why? Just because of the ring?
I think you guys are thinking he's big, he's a lope, he has no enthusiasm or energy. Joe Flacco, Joe Flacco, it was one Sterling Moore swipe away from going to two straight Super Bowls.
I don't think Matt Ryan's much better than Joe Flacco, but I think he is better. I think Joe Flacco probably is a borderline top 10 quarterback. I mean, not that I'm a big fan of him, but Tony Romo. I mean, I know the guy gets killed for being on clutch, but the numbers that he puts up
are ridiculous.
Ridiculous. And I know that you have to put that happy medium between production and wins.
And I put Matt Ryan ahead of Flacco because Ryan is expected to do so much. And he's got weapons, of course,
but
someone's got to throw to them.
He does
and
have
it's
a defense.
Matt Ryan that so much is put on his shoulders. Joe Flacco has got Ray Rice. He's kind of more of a game manager that just happened to win a Super Bowl.
1-3 in the post, Matt Ryan.
I'm not denying that the postseason stats aren't that great.
Oh, and I like him. I'm not hating Matt Ryan. I like Matt Ryan. I would take Flacco over him.
You're a rings guy.
Oh, because his postseason
jewelry.
Because his postseason record is tremendous. Like Flacco has one of the best postseason records in the history
of
the NFL.
My point.
But look back at last year. How, knowing that it was Ray Lewis's last season and it was likely going to be Ed Reed's last season, how fired up was that? That defense was not going to let them lose those games, and pretty much it came down to that.
But I think you're going to see it now with more of a responsibility now towards Joe Flacco because he has the contract now. He's now expected to produce like he did in the playoffs for an entire season.
No Anquan Boldin.
No.
He didn't throw a pick, guys, in the postseason. He didn't throw a pick.
I'm not saying he didn't play well.
He's a good quarterback.
Didn't throw a pick.
He's a top 10 quarterback.
I just want to see the sustained production, like completion percentage-wise and yardage-wise.
All right, we look at the rest of the top 32. Michael Vick slides in at number 25.
How's that working out?
25 with a bullet.
That's Ryan Tannehill, Carson Palmer, Sam Bradford, they're all ahead of him.
Hey, Kevin Cobb's only five back. He's 30.
Yeah, I mean, he's right around Brandon Whedon. I mean, no matter what you think of Michael Vick, I think it's sort of an injustice.
Well, here's the deal. Put any of those guys ahead of Michael Vick on the Eagles. Are the Eagles better? If Ryan Tannehill, I don't know who else is on that list.
Carson Palmer.
I think Whedon's behind him. I think
Brandon
Whedon's 26.
He's one spot behind him.
But Carson Palmer, the Eagles are better. Ryan Tannehill, the Eagles are better.
I don't know that for sure.
I'm not sure about that. Ryan Tannehill.
Ryan Tannehill had a very good season last year for the Dolphins.
He did okay. Carson Palmer, though? Carson Palmer's ahead of Ryan Tannehill.
Michael Vick is a turnover machine. Again, let's not forget, the man turns the ball over constantly.
He was the last two years. He was runner-up MVP 3 years ago.
If you were to ask Chip Kelly would take Ryan Tannehill over Michael Vick today.
Now, guys, deep in your hearts, if you're Chip Kelly, who do you want to win this competition?
If I'm Chip Kelly, if winning is my goal for this season, I want Michael Vick to win it for this year and try to make the playoffs, because I don't think you're ready to make the playoffs with Nick Foles or Matt Barkley in there.
I agree.
Just yet.
But what does making the playoffs mean? Chip Kelly knows he's going to be here for a while. So what is a 9-7 season and a 1-and-done trip to the playoffs? What does that mean?
No, it helps the vets to gain some because once they start losing, who knows whether the buy-in factor, quote unquote, is still going to happen? You need to instill some confidence in these guys to say, hey, this coach knows what he's doing.
That's fair.
See, I think if you're Chip Kelly, I think you want one of your young guys to win the job. Because then he's going to, he obviously has the more upside. He's going to be around longer. You would want that, all things being equal.
Oh, you're right. The same way Seattle did with Russell Wilson.
Sure.
Ask you real quick.
Yes.
You mentioned Russell Wilson's name. We got 30 seconds left. Who is the one quarterback you take to start your franchise right now?
Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, Colin Kaepernick. We had Jaws on our podcast a month ago, and he loves Colin Kaepernick. Thinks he can be a top three quarterback.
But he's got Andrew Luck ahead of him.
I'm in complete agreement with these two. I love Colin Kaepernick.
You're a smart man.
I love Kaepernick.
It is Pat Gallen and Joe Stazak. We are live at Chickies and Pizza Parks Casino. It is the Dream Job Competition. Chris Domingo and my man over here, Roy Burton. Gentlemen, excellent stuff. Even though Roy came at me from the get-go.
He did.
I mean, come on, man.
Quick salvo.
We're coming right at me.
Quick salvo right at you.
Just coming right at me.
I love Phillies Nation, by the way.
Thank you, sir. Like Chris. Good man right here. We're going to hit a break. We'll come back with our third and final contestants. We got Bill and Dan coming up right after this break. It's Pat Gallen and Joe Stazak. Stay put. We'll come right back.